Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
From 46 yards and a Buffalo win.
Snap is good. The hold is down. Hauschke's got plenty of leg. It is up. And it is good. It is good. And the Buffalo Bills win it. They knock off the Tennessee Titans. 13-12. Hausch money indeed.
Wow. Mike Danger.
This is fun.
Gene Battaglia.
It's not to give you false hope, Bills fans, because at 2-3, this team still has a lot of issues.
You do what it takes to win the game.
You play to win the game.
Derek Anderson is now a Buffalo Bill.
Monday Night Football.
Wide open.
Wide open. And Smith, what a way to do it.
I guess the way that it happened, I don't think you could have drawn it up any better.
The Sabres and the Golden Knights.
This the line. Michael, one-timer.
Astros, Indians.
The defending World Series champion Astros, they look primed to go after a repeat.
And for the third consecutive season, the Dodgers advance to the National League Championship Series.
16-1 Boston.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Here we go, the snap. Mariota looks left, locks left. Now he scans the field. Pressure, sack! He is brought down by Trent Murphy at the 36-yard line. Kyle Williams was the initial hit. They drop him. A big hit there.
Your hits of the game brought to you by Brothers Collision and Mechanical. Reminding at this time of year, deer are running around and sometimes they don't see you. And Brothers of Collision Mechanical reminding you to drive safe. 865-5260. Schedule online at brotherscollision.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, we appreciate you stopping by at AM 950 and 95.7 FM ESPN Rochester. We have a very special guest joining us this afternoon, Gino.
Yeah, former head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You see him now on Sunday on CBS. And he is coming to Rochester next Thursday. The Ben R. Giambrone Compeer Sports Luncheon. Thursday the 18th at the Riverside Convention Center. For ticket information, visit CompuRochester.org. Our guest is head coach and now commentator Bill Cowher. Coach, thanks for your time today. How are you?
You know what? When I saw this opportunity, I've never been one to be afraid of danger, so I decided to take it.
I love it. I love it. Bill, it's great hearing your voice. It's great having you on with us. We're looking forward to hearing you speaking in Rochester next week. Being a mentor, now, just to talk about this, of course, a big component of what Compeer is all about. You're a former head coach, of course. You would know how important having that support is. Who were some of your biggest mentors throughout your career?
Well, you know, obviously, Marty Schottenheimer. He was the coach that I coached under for my entire 7 years as an assistant. So I learned so much from him. But, you know, I was also the opportunity to play under Dick Vermeil in a camp. Lou Holtz recruited me in college. I played a year for him. And Sam Rattigliano in Cleveland. So for the players that you, you know, the coaches that you've played under. But, you know, at the same time, I think we always learn and grow from listening and watching other coaches deal with things. And I learned so much just watching Bill Parcells down through the years and while I was coaching and he was doing his thing, and even Bill Belichick, you know. So I think for all a lot of head coaches, we all kind of sit around and look at the league and watch how other coaches handle circumstances, because you never know when you're going to find yourself in a very similar one. And, you know, the ability to communicate through the media, to your team, through the fans, is a very important component of being a head coach.
Be able to hear Bill Cowher speak coming up next Thursday, the 18th, at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center, as compeerrochester.org has the ticket info. Bill, we're roughly 3 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline. How do you see the Le'Veon Bell situation playing out in Pittsburgh?
It'll be interesting. If I'm Pittsburgh, and again, this is just from my perspective, would be, I don't see any. I would not trade them. You have a window of time with a group of players you have right there. We know they're aging, a lot of them. You're going to get a player coming in who's basically playing for free agency and a very motivated year. And I would certainly want to be the benefactor of a player playing that kind of inspired football. So we all seen it takes two backs, I think, in the National Football League to get through. Vance Carter has proven to be a very, very capable player. But to have both of them would give balance back to an offense that's very potent. And I think it's the football team that has very high aspirations for the playoffs and more this year. So I see him coming back, and I see him being on that Pittsburgh Steelers. And like I said, I think they're going to be the recipients of a player playing inspired, playing for free agency. And, you know, I'd much rather be playing for me than against me.
Former Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Bill Cowher, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Coach, you have experience with dealing with a rookie quarterback. When it comes to playing a rookie quarterback, I guess every situation is unique. You had a plan with Ben Roethlisberger, and it wasn't to start him right away. Just, you know, from an outsider's perspective, how do you view the situation with the Buffalo Bills, their handling of Josh Allen, rookie quarterback, up to this point?
Well, I mean, I think they did the right thing. I mean, certainly you started the year and you thought Nathan was going to be the guy, but he wasn't. They didn't. And I think the thing, to Sean's credit, was he made a decision early. And I think as you look at it, he got involved with the defensive side of the ball and what they had done these last 3 weeks, and they've only given up two touchdowns, an average of 13 points a game, and they've won two of their last three. Now, what you're going to do with Josh is go through a growing pains. There's going to be some weeks he looks good. He's got good feet. You know, certainly his inaccuracy at times has been somewhat part of, I think, the learning curve, and it is in the National Football League, just playing different defenses week to week. And, you know, he's also had to sit there looking at the schedule and puts him on the road five of the first seven games. But, you know what, I think, again, with Sean, he's doing the right thing. You know, lean on LeSean McCoy, lean on that running game. Put him in comfortable situations and let him grow, you know, as he continues to feel more comfortable.
And now with the Bills bringing in Derek Anderson, you have kind of this veteran mentor there in the fray now. How important is that for the development of a young quarterback?
I think it's huge. You know, I think so much of for quarterbacking, and for really anything in the National Football League, it comes down to preparation. You know, you sit there in college and you only prepare, you're only in a meeting room for an hour, a couple hours a day. Here you're in a meeting room, you're in there for 8 hours. You're in there, you come in at a facility 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're leaving there, you know, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock at night. And so I think to have a veteran to teach you how to prepare, what to look for, what are you looking for in film, how are you looking to gather information that helps you process things a little faster, where to go with the ball, you know, what the pre-snap reads you're doing, understanding your offense and how you can maybe simplify it in your own thinking. So all the things that grow into the growth and the comfort level that a young quarterback has to get into, where he now owns the offense. He's got command over the offense. I'm sure with Josh, every week has been a learning experience. That's very much expected of a young quarterback. So having Derek Anderson, bringing a veteran in there, I think will just help him process things maybe a little bit easier, smoother, and quicker.
Our guest is former Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Bill Cowher, who will be in Rochester coming up next Thursday for the Compeer Sports Luncheon. Coach, we're seeing offenses produce at an all-time high here. Do you think defenses are going to adjust to this in time, or do you think this is the new norm in the league right now?
I think it's going to balance out. I think, you know, we had a little bit of what you had in the first couple of weeks is a little bit of a result of the helmet rule and how people, the defense back on their heels, and all of a sudden it's protecting the quarterback. And I think defensively you've slowed them down a little bit, but I think as the game goes, as they adjust, I think the defenses will pick back up. I think you kind of just saw a little bit, and it's still going to be where points are going to be the way you win games. You're going to have some games defensively you're going to have to play well, but you know, I think there's a little bit of acclimation taking place, but I think defenses will catch up.
The Ben R. Giambroni Compeer Rochester Sports Luncheon. It's happening a week from Thursday. That's the 18th at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center. If you want ticket information to see former Steelers head coach Bill Cowher in person, visit CompeerRochester.org. Coach, I'm sure you get this question a lot. We have to ask it. You know, one of your contemporaries, John Gruden, is back on the sideline after a lengthy stay doing TV. We saw your billboards up in Buffalo. Your face on billboards in Buffalo not too long ago. Would there ever come a day where you would be back on the sideline? What does the future hold for you, Bill?
You know what? I've never shut a door that I'll have to, but I tell you, I'm very, very comfortable with my role here at CBS. I really do like the platform. I love the lifestyle. It's allowed me to have an off season, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's an opportunity to be able to talk about the game I love. It's been so good to me. So I don't see much changing all from that standpoint. And you know, I think, again, you look at some of the young coaches that are coming into the game, Sean McVay, you know, Sean McDermott, your guy. These are some good young coaches, and there's a lot of them out there. And, you know, I love the game. I've always been a big, you know, it's been a part of my life ever since I left college. And so I've been in the NFL at some degree almost 39 years now. So it's still the platform I have at CBS. I enjoy it. I love the element of having the opportunity to do a lot more in the offseason. And at the same time, still being able to be around the guys like Phil and Nate and Boomer on game day and talking about the game and all the different subject matters that come up. And we have the Super Bowl this year on CBS, so we'll be down in Atlanta for that. And so, but as far as me being back on the sideline, I think it'll only be as a commentator and on the sideline, literally watching the game as I had done in the last few years on Thursday night.
Well, we're very much looking forward to next Thursday. We're hearing there are going to be a lot of Steeler fans in attendance right here in the middle of Buffalo Bills country, Coach. So, I mean, what does it mean to you having had the opportunity to coach one of the most storied franchises in all of sports?
Well, you know, it is. It really is. When you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, certainly it's a family-owned football team, and the history that's gone with that, and to be a part of that history is you know, it was a real privilege and an honor. And, you know, I still look at the Buffalo fan base. It's a tremendous fan base. You know, the only Buffalo, you got three home games in December. And only the NFL does that because, you know what, the people come out. It's a tremendous fan base. They have great passion for their football teams. You know, I remember competing against them so many years with Jim Kelly and the K-Gun and Bruce Smith terrorizing my backfield and, you know, it was, but you know, coming up to Buffalo, you just, you know, going down the street. I always remember the bus ride coming into the stadium, and it was special. You know, it reminded me a little bit of Green Bay because you kind of go through a neighborhood to get there. And I just always thought, you know, these are two great places that were kind of small towns, but boy, you talk about big hearts and passion for their teams. Buffalo, Green Bay, they both had that, and you know, so it'd be great to see. I think what Sean's doing and. Like I said, you're off to a 2-3 start, and you got, you know, three home games in December. Anything can happen.
Coach, talk about that just really quick. A 2-3 start in an AFC that feels wide open. I mean, talent-wise, it's fair to say that the Bills don't look like a playoff team, but given what the AFC is this year, hey, there's still a possibility, right?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, listen, the way you guys are playing defense, I mean, you're flying around, you're making plays, you got some good young players. I think, you know, that offensive line, there was a lot of change that took place. And that doesn't just happen and mesh overnight. I mean, you think good offensive lines, it takes years to be on the same page. So that, in theory, should get better as the season goes along, and Josh Allen should get more comfortable as the season comes along. So, again, if the offense can come up and do something where I think defensively there's been some stability there, they're going to keep you in these games, anything can happen. Like you said, you have a schedule right now that if you can kind of weather the storm early and kind of stay in the hunt, you have very, very favorable going down the stretch, particularly in late November and December.
Coach, how do you like the public speaking? We're really looking forward to hearing you coming up next Thursday. What can fans expect?
You know what? I enjoy it. I enjoy the message of being able to talk about, you know, trying to build something that is sustainable and, you know, and the process that goes with that. And, you know, again, you know, I take from my experiences of being a head coach for 15 years in Pittsburgh. We were a pretty consistent organization, and we put ourselves in position to be successful year in and year out. We never let complacency set in, and I think those are the same attributes that apply to anybody that's involved with any business or anything that you're trying to build that you want sustainability to be a part of.
He is former Steelers head coach Bill Cowher. He will be our guest at the Ben R. Giambroni Compere Rochester Sports Luncheon a week from Thursday. That's Thursday, October 18th at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center. And if you're looking for ticket information, again, CompereRochester.org is the website. Coach, it was great having you on. We know how extremely busy you are. For you to take a couple of minutes out of your day to speak with us here in the sports bar is humbling. Thank you so much.
And listen, I'm looking forward to visiting Rochester next week. That's one place I've never been, and it'll be on my bucket list, and I get a chance to do it next week. It's great.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
Bill Cowher joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. That's a top fiver, right?
It would be, and the highlight for me personally, there's another head coach making fun of your name, Mike Danger. So,
hey, listen, Gino. All right, listen, I was never that big of an athlete, but if you saw the name Mike Danger and you're at the scouting combine, don't think that head coach is going to remember my name.
It's a memorable name.
That's right. Bill Cowher, when he looks back at his trip to Rochester someday, he'll think Compeer and he'll think Mike Danger.
Hey, listen, if we have the chance to go up and shake his hand, which I hope we do, I will introduce myself as Mike Danger. And I guarantee you, Bill Cowher, hey, talked to you guys last week in the sports bar.
By the way, come out for a great cause. There are many great charities in Rochester, New York. Certainly, Compeer is one of them. So to Dana, Heather, everybody there that helped set that up, we're really looking forward to being out there Thursday at the convention center.
We got plenty of news to get to here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia after a couple of days off. I mean, Gene, we left on Thursday afternoon, actually. We cut this show short so that we could get you some Major League Baseball postseason action. Wondering what would the world look like when we return to the sports bar on Tuesday, and here we are, and the sun came up and everything looks pretty good.
Yeah, the Bills won a game. Sure, it was ugly, but it was exciting at the end. And by the way, if the Bills are going to win games, that's going to have to be the category. You take it and you move on. If you're a Bills fan, you're not going to get style points with this team. It ain't going to happen. The Sabres, to me, is the most encouraging thing because Thursday night I thought, oh my gosh, here we go again. 4-0 to Boston. It was almost a no-show for that team. But then Phil Housley, he didn't sound like Phil Housley of last year. He sounded pretty agitated, and there was a different effort, a different team I saw out there Saturday night. And then you follow that up against a team that made it to the Cup Finals last year that was starting Fleury in goal yesterday. Back-to-back good games for the Buffalo Sabres, and for the first time in over 5 years, they're actually above 500.
Exciting stuff, and depending on the baseball playoff schedule, if there's a Game 5 between the Sox and the Yankees, you'll hear that here on ESPN Rochester. If the Sox close it out tonight, a game you can hear on ESPN Rochester with pregame starting at 7:30, then we will give you Sabres hockey with the Avalanche coming to town on Thursday night here on ESPN Rochester. Plenty of Bills news occurring today, including the signing of Derek Anderson, a first room. By the way, we didn't touch on this, but should the Buffalo Bills be a little bit nervous? Should the Sean McDermott led Buffalo Bills be a little bit nervous at a couple of these stories, a couple of little chinks in the armor where you're hearing some of these stories leak to Chris Mortensen?
Unless it's okay. Unless, hey, we want this out there, and you could certainly do worse than Moore, but Moore now has broken stories. The one story he broke was that Josh Allen was starting, and that seemed to kind of put everybody off. But this was Sunday morning, and they had agreed to terms, but you couldn't activate Derek Anderson with no practice, so that's why the move was tabled until today. Yes, that's the story out of Buffalo today that is official. Derek Anderson coming in. What's a little bit surprising, who they let go? It was Dean Marlowe, who I thought had a good game. And Dean Marlowe, based on that good game, he's going to find work in this league. It might not be this week, but I bet he'll get picked up somewhere else. Maybe the Bills try to sneak him through on the practice squad. Now, when I talked to Mike Rodak at the stadium, what does this mean for Peterman? He made the prediction at the time that Peterman would be a practice squad candidate, that the Bills had that option to send him down. Like, yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense, because who is actually going to go out and sign Nate Peterman to their active 53. Guess what? That may end up happening in the end, but for now, Nate Peterman is still on this roster. Danger, if the worst case scenario happens for the Buffalo Bills this year, and I'm talking about a Josh Allen injury, if you had to put Peterman back in, you can't do that. That's why the Buffalo Bills had to go get somebody, anybody. It's football malpractice if they were going to put Peterman back out there.
I agree, but I think the value of Derek Anderson, it comes more off the field than it does on. I mean, if you see him on the field and something, you're right, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong with the Buffalo Bills this year. But Derek Anderson, with experience in Brian Daboll's offense from their time together in Cleveland and that veteran leadership, he is now a guy that can be instrumental in the development of a young rookie quarterback in Josh Allen. And listen, he was Cam Newton's backup. You know, I'm not saying that he helped develop Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a freak athlete. Josh Allen's a freak athlete, too. And maybe he can help refine some of those rough edges that Josh Allen, smooth out some of those rough edges that Josh Allen has. You know, when we noted week one, and you're watching Sam Darnold get that week one start in Detroit, and he throws a pick six on his first pass, And he goes to the sideline, and the person that's there, the first person that's there, is the backup quarterback, Josh McCown, acting as that mentor, as that older brother, to kind of show him the ropes, get up off the mat, get back out there. I don't know that Josh Allen has had that until today. With Derek Anderson there now, I would imagine that that's really the value of what you're getting out of Derek Anderson, is a guy on the sidelines that Josh Allen can bounce ideas off of, learn from, vent if he needs to vent, ask questions if he needs to ask, or just take the criticism that comes with being a rookie quarterback who's going to make mistakes. Derek Anderson could be the guy that kind of acts as that conduit between Brian Daboll and Josh Allen. I'm excited. I think that to me is a move that makes sense. Now, yeah, I get what you're saying about Marlowe not making the roster and getting pushed off, but I think that speaks to Micah Hyde probably being close to returning, if not ready to return this weekend for the action in Houston against the Texans. So a lot of excitement there with that signing. And then we get to the rumors and speculation. And again, you know, if you're Sean McDermott, are you worried that you're getting these little whispers and these little rumors breaking before you're able to control the messaging? I mean, that was something that was evident extremely quickly with the Sean McDermott era Buffalo Bills, that they were going to control the messaging. But we're getting a report today from Josh Reed at WIVB in Buffalo that the Eagles have called the Buffalo Bills to check on the status of LeSean McCoy to see if he would be available for trade. Okay. The Eagles obviously have a need. Howie Roseman, prone to making these deals. He's done it in the past. Jay Ajayi going to injured reserve. They're probably not comfortable looking at the rest of their season with Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood as their top two options. And even when Darren Sproles returns from his injury, even if it's as soon as this week, you're still not feeling confident. If LeSean McCoy is a Philadelphia Eagle, he vaults to number one on their depth chart at running back. He becomes, you know, a focal point in their offense.
And it fits. As compared to the cap space, you'd have to let somebody go in order to fit Le'Veon Bell. Not to mention, you got to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term deal. And I'm bringing that up because there was a report last week that the Eagles were interested in trading for the holdout from Pittsburgh. That didn't happen, obviously. For McCoy, who only has 1 year left on his deal after this year, tell me a time when LeSean McCoy's trade value would be higher than it is now. I suppose if he goes out and rushes for 100 yards and two touchdowns and the Bills knock off Houston in an upset, sure. But to me, this might be as good as it gets, coming off a win where the ground game did the job and got a victory. And, oh, by the way, you still have this issue kind of hanging out there that really nobody knows anything about.
Well, he has no allegations this week, so I would argue that now is the high point. Now is the time to sell if you're going to sell, because I don't know that his trade value gets any higher. You don't have any new allegations this week. It feels like we were getting a new allegation every week with LeSean McCoy. Listen, the Bills, talent-wise, aren't a playoff team. But at 2-3, with the AFC being as wide open as it is, there's a chance. There's a chance that they could make it to the playoffs. And if you deal LeSean McCoy, I understand that that makes sense, but it
you
sends,
said that with a straight face.
It sends a message about your 2018 season. You're basically telling everybody, yeah, this isn't about 2018 anymore. This is about 2019. So I would have to say that if you're going to deal for LeSean McCoy, you're going to have to give up something of value. And I don't know that Philadelphia is going to give up a third. And a third for Philadelphia is kind of like a fourth anyways. But I don't know that that's something that they're going to be willing to part with for LeSean McCoy. If you can get a third for LeSean McCoy, I think you're listening to that.
Well, yeah. And that's why you're not just dumping him off. When the Bills got rid of Marcell Dareus, oh my God, we got somebody to take him. Well, that's because Marcell had an attitude problem, and Marcell was underachieving on the football field, and Marcell had a gross, disgusting contract that nobody would touch. But Jacksonville felt he was the one player away, and the Bills were able to milk a 6th-round pick out of it. That was a different situation, and I don't think anybody was up in arms when that trade came down on a Friday night right before the deadline. This, as you said, is a little bit different, because I think of the master strokes of the world, who was all upset today because as soon as he heard this, my goodness, then what would they do on offense, because the Bills are going to make the playoffs?
I want you to hold your thought for 1 second, just because you brought up his name. We didn't get the chance to have Master Stroke in here last week to make his predictions for the Titans. And if you're just joining us, if you're new to the sports bar, Master Stroke is he's the Bills fan that you know that views this team constantly through rose-colored glasses. Little distorted sense of reality. And they'll make a prediction, and you'll hear that prediction, and you'll be like, yeah, okay. Masterstroke famously predicting the Bills to go 9-7 this season, also predicting that the Bills would beat the Ravens week one, also excited when Nathan Peterman took over for Tyrod Taylor last year against the Chargers. We all know how that turned out. Masterstroke last week stopped me and said, I've got two predictions I want to make for the game against the Titans. Okay, Masterstroke, what do you got for me? Josh Allen is going to pass for over 300 yards. Zay Jones is going to receive over 100 yards. Yeah, not really.
No.
Kind of a terrible
pass. He would have taken credit, though, for the win, though. That to him, he would have been happy. Back to McCoy.
Yes.
His point being, he would be upset because it would signal the Bills were punting on the 2018 season. Now, to me, that seems ridiculous. I'd like to think that most Bills fans are kind of in the mindset that you're riding shotgun with Brandon Bean. In other words, you're trying to look to see how he's going to build this team to win a Super Bowl. LeSean McCoy will not be a Super Bowl champion with the Buffalo Bills. This team is nowhere near close to that. You have to get assets down the road. In fact, I don't think he's with the team next year. So to me, yes, it's fun when the Buffalo Bills win games in 2018, but if you can look at the big picture, Bills fans, when the cap space, when the extra draft picks, let's get another draft pick. That's the way I would look at it with this team. And by the way, Chris Ivory's not LeSean McCoy. I understand that, but he is running like a beast right now.
Can you get 3.5 yards per carry? Because that's essentially what the Bills got against Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
You can get that production from pretty much anybody. And yes, LeSean McCoy is more talented than Marcus Murphy, than Chris Ivory. But can you get production out of that position? Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Oh, and by the way, you're just a phone call away or Boss Hogg down in Georgia completing his investigation, whatever it would be, where this discussion's all moot. Just saying. That's still out there.
Yeah. I view it as an opportunity for the Buffalo Bills. And they can continue to play at the level that they've been playing this year without LeSean McCoy. And you're building assets for your future. And if you listen to this show, you probably already know my feelings on the specific player himself. If you have the chance to get something of value now from a team in need, I mean, this is, you know, whenever somebody says, why don't they just deal with LeSean McCoy? Just go ahead when they're playing bad. No. It's not when you're playing bad that you're able to make those deals. It's after a game like Sunday where you're able to make this deal. Look, LeSean McCoy looked good. He still has a lot in the tank. You have a need? Let's talk. If you're Brandon Bean, I'm taking that call. And I'm taking that call, and I'm listening very carefully to what they're offering, and I'm trying to get something, anything, for a guy that right now is a ticking time bomb. We don't know what his future is going to be the rest of this season or next season. And he's a big, big number next year for a position that you can get value fairly easily.
But to the validity of this report, and it's not coming from the Buffalo Bills, and it's not coming from the Eagles, it's coming from a respected Buffalo TV reporter. His name is Josh Reed. He's not the former wide receiver, different Josh Reed. Where does this report come from, generally speaking? My guess, coming from the agent. That would be the story you would plant out there if the agent caught wind to this. Maybe it's not to the Eagles, but if LeSean McCoy wanted a change and actually wanted to win, this would be his way off if you could stir up the rumors right now. If there was just a little tiny bit of truth to this, and you're the agent for LeSean McCoy and you caught wind of this, you're going to plant the story.
Let's see how it all folds out, how it all unfolds. It'll be interesting to see. I wouldn't put it past Howie Roseman to make that phone call. He's done it before.
They just brought back Matthews.
Right. And I wouldn't put it past Brandon Bean to get something back. It feels like it would make sense. I don't know what message it sends to your fans for the 2018 season moving forward. unless you're able to get something, you know, in return. But for right now, and I don't know that they have anything right now. Well, hey, they can bring back Jordan Matthews.
Ron Darby.
I'm kidding.
Nigel Pradham. Chris Ryan. Do the Eagles have an offensive line or a speedster that they're willing to part with?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's Brandon Bean, to his credit, usually gets a body back here. And yeah, a third round pick and a body would be a good thing.
All right, let's get to shots next, Gino. It's brought to you by Market Fuel Liquor. It's party season. Stock up now at Market Fuel Liquor, the only liquor store you'll ever need for unbeatable pricing and selection. Go to Market Fuel Liquor, Jefferson Road, Henrietta, just off the expressway.
You know, Robin Lehner, give him credit. He was great last night. Yeah. We'll set you up for the what's going on in Toronto, too. We've got to touch on that. The Leafs are off to a hot start. Yay. The Sabres, of course, we're going to talk about a lot of baseball to get to. And do you hate this? I know you get the red zone danger. I know you get the NFL ticket. For us common folk over here, I'm putting my hand up in the end. I hate it. When I'm watching the 4 o'clock game and they're going to go over to overtime of Browns Ravens, and there comes on James Brown.
We're really sorry. Due to NFL restrictions, we cannot bring you the conclusion of the game. We'll keep you updated.
They actually might be changing that.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I'm listening any change in how we consume football on Sundays. Shots next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
You're a hardworking listener of the sports leader. You deserve a signing bonus. ESPN Rochester is giving you 12 chances each weekday to win a $1,000 signing bonus. Listen each weekday starting at 7. At the top of each hour, we'll announce a code word. When you hear it, text the code word nationwide to 72881. The $1,000 signing bonus. Weekdays on the sports leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester. Brought to you by WebSmart Chevy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.